Good morning, everyone. If you could please turn your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. We'll go from 1 to 3. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I'll read that one more time. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you revealed yourself to us, Lord. That, God, if you did not reveal yourself to us, Lord, and did not give us ways to relate with you, God, we could not be your people. And so, Lord, today we just open up our hearts to you, God. Help us, Lord, to really hear your word, God. And to seek to obey, Lord, the commandments, God, that you give to us, and to worship and to live for you, God. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So, Exodus 20 is this is Moses writing, and basically, I mean, just to give some really quick context before kind of going into the relevance and the teaching, is this is basically after God had taken Israel out of Egypt. And so Moses, at this point, he's led them. Basically, God had led them through not just the Red Sea and part of the desert, but they're situated at the base of Mount Sinai. And so God is right now speaking to Moses, and he's telling them, "Okay, you got to consecrate your people. You need to get them ready." And he's about to make himself known to the Israelites, and he's about to give them his word. Now, the importance of the Ten Commandments is this. We need to remember that what Israel was at this point of basically the biblical narrative. And so we have to understand that up until this point, Israel had forgotten, well, I don't want to say forgotten about God, but because of what happened with Joseph, remember Joseph brought Israel into Egypt, and what happened was he helped to avoid famine, and so Israel could survive the very, very bad famine. But what happened afterwards is the Pharaoh died away, nobody could remember them, and so that began the suffering of Israel, and that basically happened for about 300 years, or 300 to 400 years. And so for 300 to 400 years, that's basically 10 generations. They were being trained out of who God was, right? They were being trained under the Egyptian law and rule, and so they forgot who God was. They didn't know what it meant to live as free people. They didn't know what it meant to live as God's people. The only thing they knew was what was happening around them, which was they were slaves to a foreign nation. They were forced into manual labor, and they knew the gods and the religion of that nation. And so for Egypt, they actually have many, many gods. And so when Israel was under Egypt's rule, they knew all their gods, right? They had a god for everything that they did. They had god for the sun, they had a god for the moon, right? They had gods for everything. And so in Egypt, basically the religion that they knew was how they would be able to get blessing is they would worship a different god for different occasions. And so the way they would live life was, the more I worshipped, the more blessing I got. And that's how the Egyptians lived, right? Oh, I got to make sure that I have enough sun for my crops, so I got to worship Ra, right? The sun, the god of sun, okay? Oh, I got to make sure that I have, to make sure, Nefertiti was, anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, I don't want to get sidetracked, the point is that they would worship many, many gods for many, many reasons. Really, at the end of the day, it was simply to be blessed. Gods to them was a very, very easy concept. So when God revealed himself to them, I don't think the Israelites had any problem with believing that God was a god, right? In fact, I would say that to them, it was very possible that they would say, oh, maybe God was the god of the pillar of cloud, right? Remember when he brought them through the desert throughout the day, he had a pillar of cloud covering them. Oh, God was a pillar of cloud. Simply, if we worship him, he covers us from the sun. Right? Oh, God could be a pillar of fire. Oh, when we're cold at night, if we worship him, he would give us heat and to take care of us. Actually, I think what was difficult for them wasn't so much that believing God was a god. I think the difficult thing for them was believing that God was the one and only God. I think what was difficult for Israel wasn't so much that God was somebody that was powerful and capable. They were already used to that. But I think what was difficult for them was the idea of, you shall have no other gods before me. You see, they lived in a culture where there were so many gods, and it was okay to worship many gods. But now God is teaching them, and to make them his people, he's saying, you shall have no other gods before me. I should be the only one, the only person you should relate to in this way. Now, for us, as modern-day Christians, and how this relates to us, see, I don't think as Christians, any of us set out to worship any other gods. See, I don't think any of us, you know, I believe each of us that come to church, right, we want to serve God. We want to love him. We want to do our best, all these sort of things. I don't think we set out coming to church saying, we have our God, but we want to worship other gods. See, I don't think that's the case. But what happens to us is, because we don't guard our hearts, or because there's so many different things around us that teach us different things, eventually what happens to us is our hearts move away from God, and God simply becomes one of the many gods that are around us. And let me give us some examples, right? See, at the beginning of anything we do, typically as Christians, we pray very, very, very hard. If we need a job, what do? Lord, give me this job. You are my Lord. You are my God. Give me this job and I will follow you, right? And so we spend our time, we pray, we fast, we do all of these things. But eventually what happens once we get our jobs, God only becomes one of the gods, right? He becomes one of those gods we worship to get this blessing of a job, but then most of our time goes into worshiping our jobs. I mean, maybe not so, I mean, quite subtly, right? It's not like we bow down on our knees and, oh, mighty bank, how I worship thee, right? We don't do that. But we show where our hearts are with the amount of time in which we spent doing one or the other, right? Most of our time no longer becomes worshiping God and saying, Lord, I worship you, I praise you, help me in my search for a job. It becomes, Lord, thank you, I come before you, I have so much to do, bless me in Jesus' name, amen. And then the rest of our time becomes, how do we prosper on our work? Okay, jobs, that's one of them. What's another one? Relationships. Lord, God, give me a spouse. This is one of my favorites, right? At the very beginning, we're always so God-centered. Lord, I want to make sure I find a man or a woman that is solely after you, right? I want to make sure that I worship you and I live for you and I find someone who will help me in my walk for you, okay? And then maybe it doesn't happen. And so we become a little bit more desperate. And so eventually we say, Lord, just give me somebody who comes to EMP, someone who has a heart for you, okay? And then maybe it doesn't happen, okay? And eventually it becomes, Lord, just give me someone with a heartbeat who says he's a Christian, right? Whatever the case may be. See, at the beginning, as Christians, we always desire the Lord when there's a need. But eventually, whatever it is that we're asking for becomes our God. See, we don't set out that way. But I think how we live our lives really represent what it is that we desire and what it is that we believe. See, when we do that, not only, Israel, I mean, when they came out of their situation, God was teaching them, this is how you relate to me. He had to untrain their ways. He had to untrain, basically, their religious understanding of what a God was. But you see, by the time the Ten Commandments got to Jesus' time, what the Ten Commandments was by the time Christ was around, it was no longer how to relate to God. It was basically 10 ways in which we can be blessed. It became this rule book of how can we worship in such a way, a transaction of, if we do this, we will receive God's protection. We will receive these things. And so, brothers and sisters, God, when he asks of us, right, you have no other gods besides me? See, he's not saying you'll have no other gods besides me when you have nothing better to do. You'll have no other God besides me when you don't have work. You'll have no other gods beside me when you don't have family. You have no other gods beside me when you have no other priorities. See, like Israel, there were many other things that they could have believed in. And God asked them, no, I'm the one and only. And much like us, there's so much in our lives that take our time and our attention. And to be honest, I think they're legitimate things. And especially in Hong Kong, they're necessary things, right? Especially with work. And this is probably one of the worst places in terms of, right, having a private life versus work life. But even in that, God speaks to us, you shall have no other gods besides me. And so, what is our life in our lives about? Is God simply one of those gods among the many, right? In our relationships, in our families, I don't want to make it sound like our family's not important, but you see, even in our family, God needs to be first. Even in the way we deal with our kids, He needs to be first. Even in the way we deal with our spouses and how we our model our family after, He needs to be first. Because if He isn't first, then He simply becomes one of the many gods. And I don't think that's the way that God originally had for Israel, right? He wanted to be the one and only. That's why He gave us the first commandment, you shall have no other gods besides me. The emphasis for them was, I know you believe in me, but I need to be the one and only, the first. No other gods besides me. And so I'm going to keep it rather short today. I'm going to do something a little bit different. So I'm going to ask Ernie to come up. He's going to lead us in worship. And so, I mean, this is not the start of the week. This is the start of my week. But I guess middle of your week. But let me ask you today. Obviously, our heart is not to serve anything else. I mean, I know this. But I think sometimes as we live life, sometimes as we kind of move on, the things we serve become so subtle. Right? I think even in serving God, sometimes it can become serving ourselves. We serve God to be able to get a certain peace or gift. Or you see, God promises these things to us anyway. As we follow Him, as we worship Him, these things will come. But we look at it as a way of transaction rather as a way of putting God into a place of lordship. And so as we worship today, I really want to ask us to maybe go through a time of reflection. Lord, is there anything else in my life right now that I place before you? God, what is more important in my life to you? Could it be my kids? Do I make my decisions, all my decisions based on them? Where I live, where I go? Could it be my job? Do I do everything based on how I can get ahead? Could it be even the front of spiritual life? God, do I ever do everything right on the outside, but on the inside? This service is simply one of the things that I do. And so if there is, let's go before Him and repent. And simply put Him back in the right place. Let's pray. Be the fire in my heart. Felt like as we were praying that just to lead us in a quick time of prayer, just to ask God, Lord, is there any fear in my heart? God, is there any fear when it comes to any of these areas of my life? Is there fear of not knowing what's next or not knowing or how and whatnot? I think oftentimes we make God into only one of those gods when fear creeps in and we feel the need to serve the other things that are in our lives. And so I feel like God wants to bring some peace to us today. He wants to remind you that He is God, that He is capable to deliver. And so as we pray, let's continue to lift Him up and just to ask Him to come into those areas. God, help me so that I can keep You as God. Thank you. pastor into our community. Let's really pray for those that are suffering from cancer-related infirmities. Let's really pray for God's providence and His hand of healing over their lives. Let's pray for His peace and His comfort as well. Let's lift Him up. Let's lift up those in our community in need of healing and also salvation. Let's really pray that God opens their eyes and their hearts, that they'll be able to receive Him. But let's also pray that they'll be healed, that there'll be a miraculous work of God in their lives. Pray for those suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really pray for healing and also for comfort as well. But especially, I think a lot of these infirmities require quite a bit of treatment. And so let's really pray for God to provide all that they need, whether it's the right doctors or enough finances, or whatever the case may be, but to really help them in their situations. Pray for those in our community in need of work. Let's pray that as they're searching, that they'll use their time wisely, but that God will also prepare their hearts for their mission field as well. Let's pray for favor over their lives and anointing, that even before they step into their jobs, that God is preparing a way for them. Let's pray. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up China. Let's really pray for the country, and that God will continue to send people to make it, to spread the gospel, and to for it to become a God-fearing nation. Let's pray for our Beijing family. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and their new son, Enoch. Let's lift up the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches. So let's really pray that God continues to do a powerful work for them, and that He'll provide all that they need as they serve Him. Let's lift up the board as well. Let's pray for P-Sam, Kiwan, Bryce, Andrew, Max, Jackie, Yiling. Let's pray for them and their families. Let's pray for covering over them as they serve the church. Let's pray for wisdom as they continue to lead our church with through decisions and whatnot. And yeah, let's just lift them up. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for the men's ministry. Let's pray for the retreat coming up. Let's pray that God is already preparing the center and that he's already there working. And pray for the speaker that will be coming. Pray for the men, that everyone who's going to pray for everyone to go, and especially when we do go, that we're going to have an amazing time just meeting with God. Let's pray for the women's ministry as well. Let's pray for their Monday morning prayer, their discipleship. And I lift up the retreat coming up on the 17th, as it's their first in a long time. Let's pray that the women will really feel gathered and united in this way to come and to really worship God and to be discipled. Let's pray for Yahweh, the young adults, and pray that they'll have a good time being able to connect. Let's pray for the leaders as well, that they'll be able to lead and know what God wants to do through these ministries. Let's lift up our house churches tonight for Causeway Bay, for EastEnders, Island, New Conduit, Cimbria, and Lion Rock. Let's pray for the leaders, that they'll have good direction as to how to lead tonight. And pray for the house churches, that God's Spirit will just show up, manifest, and they'll have such an amazing time fellowshipping with him. Let's pray. Father, help us, God. We thank you, Lord, that you revealed yourself to us, God, and delivered us, God, from our old lives, Lord. And we ask, God, will you help us to continue to worship you and to follow you, Lord? Father, help us to be like Moses, Lord, not just the desire, God, the promised land, but your presence all the time. Help us, Lord, to pray beyond, God, our needs, Father, to seek your face, Lord, not just when we need you, so that, God, we will keep you, Lord, and to place you, Lord, as our God, Father, and not just as one of the many, Lord, in our lives. And so, God, help us, Lord, to continue in this way, too, to be sanctified, Lord, and to continue to grow and mature. Father, I know, God, that each of us desire to serve you. And so, Lord, help us in our journey, God, in our walk towards you. And so, Lord, I just want to lift up my friends, Lord, today. I pray, God, for their workplaces, God, and for families, their lives, their possessions, all things that pertain to them. Father, will you bless them in all that they do, God? Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time of prayer. We'll see you guys tomorrow.